Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd on a Monday, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, will be happening in 1 hour from now. It is absolutely great to have you here. Tom Brady, give him the ball, don't give him the ball. I knew that would be a big topic the minute I saw it. Joy Taylor is joining me today. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year.
Why is that?
It's almost Halloween, Colin.
Oh, that's right. That is, what day is that?
That is, it's on Sunday. But I have big plans. I have 5 costumes.
5.
Jenny taps over here laughing at me. Yeah. Oh, it's my favorite holiday.
Well, everybody's got one. I'm going to go as a hardened journalist.
Sky Bannister.
Yes, I am. Well, good. That'll be fun. So let's start with this. Whenever we talk about great coaches and great organizations, we always just throw the Niners in there. You just lump them in there. That's a good organization. That's a good roster. That's a good coach. Can we stop doing that? Kyle Shanahan's record now is worse than Mike Singletary's. They're 1-10 at home in the last 2 years. Well, George Kittle is hurt. He's always hurt. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo's coming off an injury. He's always coming off an injury. Well, the secondary is beat up and not playing great. Yeah, that's who you are. The secondary's always beat up, and it hasn't been great in 4 years. They can't solve it. Even in their own division. Rams, better roster, better organization, fewer draft whiffs, and a better quarterback. Arizona, better quarterback, better momentum. They've hit on more free agent signings. Well, what about Seattle? At least they got Russell Wilson. San Francisco in their own division, organizationally, roster, they're 4 of 4. And not only do they look disorganized outside of the first and second maybe drives of the game, they had a later one in the second half that was pretty slick, but they coach scared. I mean, it's funny, the Colts, Carson Wentz had a couple of, ugly turnovers early, didn't deter them at all. They still coached him hard. They gave Carson Wentz opportunities. Listen, it's funny about this. Mike Vrabel and Frank Reich must have bad agents because they're really good coaches with a variety of different quarterbacks from Marcus Mariota to 100-year-old Philip Rivers. Frank Reich and Mike Vrabel just have winning season, winning season, winning season, and have winning records. Kyle Shanahan has a losing record. And it's all we talk about. Oh, it's just insert him into the good coaches. You got to give me some returns. I don't care where my stockbroker went to college. I don't want to hear about Harvard, Princeton, and Wharton Business School. I want to see returns. This team doesn't win. They don't win at home. Well, Shanahan, it's Garoppolo's not good enough. That's the only time Kyle Shanahan wins. That's with Garoppolo. He can't win without him. I don't want to hear about Garoppolo. You know, everybody makes fun of Bill O'Brien. Remember that guy? They always make fun of him. Do you know Bill O'Brien had a winning record in Houston, 27-21, before Deshaun Watson? He's winning games with Tom Savage and Brock Osweiler. You got to win games. There was every reason last night for Indianapolis to lay an egg. Think about this. They're a dome team. They played in the monsoon. They were on the road, West Coast, late night, big TV game. They had major injuries on their offense. They had ugly turnovers early. And yet they played a brilliant second half. They don't coach scared. They overcome injuries. Frank Reich and this organization rolled the dice on Carson Wentz. He has been terrific. Only one interception this year. It's the lowest among all starters. And I don't know what it is. This is not a shot at Kyle Shanahan, but he's a very rigid personality. And I watched that team last night. They're coached rigidly. They coach scared. Listen, if you're going to coach that way with Jimmy Garoppolo, play Trey Lance. What's the point? What is the point? It's like we said about Chicago. If you're going to coach conservatively with Andy Dalton, well, then just give Justin Fields reps. But there was every reason for the Colts to lay down last night. dome team in a monsoon, out west, TV game, underdog, key injuries, bad early turnovers, and they came out hyper-aggressive in the second half and stole that game. And organizationally, the Niners have had too many whiffs in the draft, haven't hit on all their free agents. We got to stop lumping them in with the great teams. Kyle Shanahan afterwards explained.
I got a whole team to worry about. I'm not just thinking about what the quarterback situation right now. I'm going to evaluate everything, see where our team's at, see what gives us the best chance to beat Chicago, and see what our options are.
Just got to keep him off the great coach, great organization, great roster. Enough. In division, in their own division, they are 4-4. Worst quarterback. You can make an argument now. Worst roster. 4-4. Lost the last 7 games at home. This is not an elite franchise. Not an elite roster. I want to talk about what I saw yesterday with Kansas City and Tennessee. A lot of people in the media, it's called safetyism. They say safe stuff. Always pick favorites. Always defend young quarterbacks struggling. They don't want any pushback. I saw this years ago with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. Had a bunch of commercials. And I was considered outrageous for saying he's condescending. Not necessarily a good teammate. I'm hearing bad things. His family's squawking. There's open receivers. He won't hit them. And in the end, years later, it came out, yeah, I was right. But for years and years, I took all this heat. It's the same with Mahomes. People are terrified in the media to get blowback on social media and Twitter, so they play it safe. Mahomes is great. Rodgers is great. That's easy. But the audience, and I can tell from the size of my audience, which is enormous, appreciates when you're willing to say stuff and you're going to get crap for it. And a couple of weeks ago, I said this on Mahomes. I'm not sure he's playing as good as Derek Carr right now. In his own division. Forget the league. He's not throwing the ball as well as Joe Burrow right now. He's making more mistakes than Justin Herbert right now. The media is terrified to criticize him because they'll get blowback. Folks, in the last 3 games, Patrick has more picks than touchdowns. His passer rating 75. He's completing 62% of his passes. In the NFL in 2021, that's a bad quarterback. And he's got a good O-line and a brilliant coach and great weapons. It's not a hot take. He's not playing well. He's got every advantage to play well, and he's playing poorly. Right now, he's tied with Zach Wilson with the most interceptions in football. He's got 17 turnovers. It's week 7. Okay? And by the way, he's a great kid. He understands it. But Lance Zierlein, whose dad coached in the NFL for years, is now a talk show host in Houston, and he's a scout, and he's one of the better scouts out there that's on the air. And he said it yesterday in a tweet. He said his meltdown right now for him is staggering. Taking care of the football and decision-making, those were the concerns out of college. And it's coming back to haunt him as a pro. It is not a criticism of Mahomes the human. He's a great kid. It's not an indictment on his character. And being a quarterback has never been a linear experience. I mean, Brady's literally got 3 careers. He's got the early Tom where the defense carried him. Good, not special. Okay, he's amazing in his prime Tom, the Randy Moss years. And now there's the old Tom. What the hell does he do? I don't understand. How's he still this good, Tom? It's like Brady's got 3. And by the way, in the process, in the middle of that, he had 10 years with 2 Super Bowls, lost them both. It's not a linear experience. You have highs and lows. You lose a receiver. You lose a left tackle. You lose a great coordinator. You replace him with a bad coordinator. But let's stop being terrified about this. Mahomes is not playing good football right now. Doesn't mean he's a bad kid. Doesn't mean he's not coachable. Doesn't mean he won't bounce back out of it. But it's at this point, I'm seeing the Aaron Rodgers thing, where Aaron literally won a Super Bowl, and if you push back at all, it's a hot take. No, I mean, Aaron declined for 3 straight years. That's why I have defended drafting Jordan Love. I hated that draft. 2nd pick was a running back, should have been a wide receiver. I think they too often in the draft, Packers go after like developmental guys and offensive linemen. Didn't love that, but I got the Jordan Love thing. He had his 2nd injury to Aaron. He was declining. Gradually, small, granular, but he was declining. The audience appreciates us being honest about this. Right now, Derek Carr is playing better football than Patrick Mahomes. Doesn't mean Derek Carr is better than Patrick Mahomes. But he's a turnover machine right now. Like bad, like Zach Wilson. He's bad. And they got the coach, and the offensive line's fine. It's not top five, but it's good. And the receiver's great, and that guy's good, and the plays are smart, and he's missing on stuff. It's okay. Now, the good news is that Patrick is, like, incredibly easy to embrace. He's bright. He'll get it. He'll turn it around. Hell, he may turn it around next weekend. He talked about it after.
It's been rainbows and flowers and awesome for these last few years, but whenever you want to build something substantial and you want to build something great, you're going to go through parts like this. And, I mean, people keep saying it's still early in the year. I mean, we can still go get whatever we want, but it's going to take us getting better every single day.
That's why he's fine, by the way. Yeah, there's a guy in Cleveland that would give you a cocky answer. No, he's not cocky. Totally gets it. Dad was a pro athlete. He'll be fine. But it's okay to acknowledge it. People will appreciate it. He's not playing great football right now. He's great talent. He's not playing great football. He'll get better. He'll snap out of it. But Greg Cosell told us a couple weeks ago, he wouldn't be the easiest guy to coach. So much of his talent is off script. It's not that easy. I mean, he's doing a lot of different things people can't. But when you watch him, you're watching the games and I'm watching. He's making some bad throws. It's not an indictment of him. You're watching it. He's loose with the football. His mechanics are just not quite right. It's okay. And by the way, his reads aren't very good. For the record, there's no indignity losing to Tennessee. We've seen that in the last couple of weeks. They've beaten Buffalo and the Chiefs. Both at home, there's no indignity here. It's okay, you can lose to Tennessee, probably a top six or seven team, but because we view them as boring and run first, nobody calls them a good team. But it is okay. Mahomes will get better, but not right now. He's not good right now. Not playing really, really well right now. All right, top of next hour, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. I've got thoughts on the Rams, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow. My daughter went and watched the Ravens-Bengals game, sat like two seats from Joe Burrow's mom and family. She's like, Dad, they're so nice. Would you please say nice things about them? All right. Okay. I will.
Yeah. Twist our arms.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Wolf and Shepherd, dress shoe made and worn by athletes like Gronk and Steve Nash. Business on the top, athletic on the bottom. WolfandShepherd.com. Check out their merch and details. Dan Campbell, coach of Detroit, actually had a good day yesterday. A couple of fake punts, onside kick. They threw everything at the Rams and still lost. But what really struck me is there's been two times in sports. Kevin Garnett went for the T-Wolves to the Celtics and Matt Stafford from the Lions to the Rams. And this is why players fight for mobility. This is why players, they get about 7 years in their prime. They may play, even if they play for 15 years, 24 to about 31, those are your best years. And Matt Stafford and Kevin Garnett, I don't even remember the T-Wolf years from Kevin Garnett. Like, they disappeared into the ether. And watching Stafford, I'm like, am I going to forget the Lion years if he does this for a couple of years? I mean, he went from having no help to now Robert Woods is complaining, I'm not getting enough throws. Robert Woods would have been his best receiver in Detroit. Now he doesn't get enough throws. I mean, he's turned Cooper Kupp into Randy Moss. His passer rating is 117, which is better than Aaron Rodgers' career passer rating. And it just goes to show why athletes fight for mobility. The environment matters no matter how gifted you are. And I was thinking about this morning, Jared Goff now, all his flaws, which were covered up by the staff and the O-line and the roster, he's now 0-14 without McVay, 0-7 this year in Detroit. All the little flaws get amplified when the environment's bad. All the Matt Stafford flaws, and he doesn't have a lot of them, but you get amplified. It's the opposite when you have the right coach and the right O-line and the wide receivers. They should really create a separate wing of the Hall of Fame. The extenuating circumstances wing of the NFL. Listen, we know you don't qualify, but you played in Detroit or Cleveland for 8 years, 10 years. We're going to give you a pass. We know your numbers aren't there, but you get a gold jacket anyway. When you watch Matt Stafford, and he was loyal, this is why athletes want out of bad spots. There are just some bad owners. There are bad climates. There are, places that just they're not winning cultures. The Ford family forever in Detroit. But it feels like Kevin Garnett. I mean, 2-3 years with the Celtics, you just forget the T-Wolf years. You're like, no, Garnett's a Celtic. And that's how I feel for Matt Stafford. It's happening in front of our eyes. That years ago, I would say things like, I'm not so sure he's less talented than Aaron Rodgers. He just has a horrible franchise. And you get a lot of pushback on that. Right now, and by the way, he had a game against Arizona when he didn't play well. Hasn't been great for every half and every quarter. Hasn't been great for every game. Right now, his passer rating with the Rams is higher than Aaron Rodgers' career passer rating. And this is why guys fight to go to the right coaches and the right teams and the right offensive lines. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, well, Liv asked that we say nice things about Joe Burrow, which we always do, but today we really can. Joe Burrow led the Bengals to a convincing 41-17 win over the Ravens yesterday. He threw for a career-high 416 yards and three touchdowns, including an 82-yarder to Ja'Marr Chase, who has been incredible. He's thrown for at least two touchdowns in every game this season.
Nobody else has done that in the whole league.
Very impressive. Ja'Marr Chase had eight receptions for 201 yards and a touchdown, so he broke Speedy Thomas's franchise rookie record of 177 yards receiving, which was set at a game in 1969 in Denver. Chase now has 754 yards receiving, the most for a player through the first seven games of his career since the AFL-NFL merger, so making a very good case for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And the Bengals snapped a five-game losing streak against the Ravens, which will put them at the top of the AFC playoff standing. So pinch me if you had the Bengals, Raiders, and Titans leading the AFC at this point in the season when the season started.
This is why the NFL is amazing. The current AFC playoff picture for our radio audience, the number one seed is the Bengals, followed by the Raiders, Titans, Bills, Ravens, Chargers, Browns. That is why the NFL is great.
It's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. And it feels good for the Bengals.
Here's what's funny. You and I would have predicted this. We would have put it out there as an opinion. We'd have gotten crushed for it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's like this, the NFL, you never know. I'm watching them. By the way, Baltimore has boat raced Cincinnati the last four or five times they've played.
Yeah, it was five games straight.
And blowouts. Like, this one was not even competitive the other way. In Baltimore. It's
a statement win for them. And it's not really an indictment of the Ravens. It's a divisional game.
It happens. It happens. It's the NFL.
But it was more important game for the Bengals coming in. And the Ravens were favored by 6.5.
Even when it was close early, you could feel Cincinnati was close to busting it open.
You know, what I've realized is that you're talking about like us getting backlash for having that be our opinion. When I have a strong take about something, I don't need to apologize for it. If I feel strongly enough about it, I know I'm going to be right. And I have been, so I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You can scream and yell all you want.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like I said this last year before he got hurt. I said, I think Burrow's better than Baker.
Yeah.
I said, he just throws it prettier ball. He's more comfortable. He's more athletic. You can just watch the games. You fans out there watch the same games we do. Now, we do more homework on it and more calls on it and do a bunch of that nonsense. But when you watch Burrow, and he doesn't have Justin Herbert's arm, and he's not as athletic as Kyler Murray, but when you watch him, this is not a great roster. This isn't the Cleveland roster or the Baltimore roster. This is a rebuilding roster that's getting closer. They're better defensively than people give them credit for. But he is taking a roster with some holes in it and doing this. So what happens when they patch up the offensive line?
They're really building something in Cincinnati. Their next game is at the Jets. They're currently 9.5-point favorites. The Jets are down bad right now. Remember before the draft when I was like, Miami should offer like three first-round picks and two second-round picks, just whatever, to try and move up and get Joe Burrow?
You said
and
that.
Everyone was like, you're a crazy person.
I look at now. One of them's dying for a quarterback, and one of them's number one seed in the AFC.
Cincinnati wasn't going to take it anyway, but I felt like you had to try. Sam Darnold was benched in the fourth quarter yesterday.
He needed to be benched. And I'm a Darnold fan.
This game was a disaster.
His throw from the end zone was embarrassing. Sam, you've been in the league like five years. You can't make those throws. That's another terrible throw.
Yeah, it was a bad way. They lost 25-3 to the Giants. Darnold was 16 of 25, 111 passing yards and one interception, 57.3 passer rating, and he got sacked three times. So P.J. Walker, who's one of my favorite stories in the NFL.
Yes.
It's always great to see him out there, although the Panthers don't want to have to see him out there. After the game, Matt Rhule said it just felt like we needed somewhat of a spark, and Sam will be the quarterback next week, and he'll be the quarterback moving forward. However, now there are rumors swirling that the Panthers are the latest team interested in potentially trading for Deshaun Watson.
They should.
According to Joe Person from The Athletic,
yeah.
Both league and team sources anticipate them pursuing Deshaun Watson before the trade deadline, which is November 2nd next week. So a lot more teams will start popping up in that rumor mill with the trade deadline coming to a close. And the Texans are hopeful of being active at the trade deadline, obviously. Yeah. They play the Falcons next week on Sunday and are 3-point underdogs, but that's it's a pivotal game for the Panthers. And but, you know, the Falcons are the Falcons, so...
Yeah.
They'll treat them with respect, but it's not the worst game to be coming up after a bad game like that. So Tom Brady became the first quarterback in NFL history to reach 600 career touchdown passes in Sunday's 38-3 win over the Bears. Also a rough watch. It happened with 10 seconds left in the first quarter on a 9-yard touchdown pass to Mike Evans. Mike Evans then gave the ball to a fan, and Brady spoke about the moment after the game.
I just think about all the guys that's sharing it with me. That's the reality. There's nothing about this sport that's you do by yourself. So it's the ultimate team sport. It challenges you physically, mentally, emotionally. Every week, every day of practice, I'm just grateful to have amazing teammates, coaches. To be able to do it for as long as I have is a really incredible blessing in my life.
Brady was greeted with a big hug from Bruce Arians after the play, and Evans didn't realize it, so they're showing it here. He didn't realize what touchdown this was, so he's giving it to a fan in the stands, and then the team personnel had to come back and get the ball from the fan and negotiated some items with them to get to give the ball back. Would you give the ball back?
Yes, I would give the ball back. First of all, Tom said it's just a ball. But of course,
I don't think Tom cares as much.
Yeah, I mean, do you keep a bunch of mementos from your broadcasting career?
I'm not a big hoarder. In fact, I'm in the process of purging my house right now because I get to a point like twice a year where I'm like, I have too much stuff. Yeah. Like, it's got to go.
So I would give it back. But first of all, the Buccaneers, Arians, Brady, it's a classy organization, right? So they would do something. But I know Shannon was joking about it. I can't do that. Like, if I was in the stands, let's say it's not Brady, and somebody hit a home run ball, and it was the 500th home run of, when I was a kid growing up, I loved Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
It has no value to me.
It is monetary value.
But I have confidence in myself that I can make money in my life. I'll overcome giving back a 500th baseball. Maybe if you could give me tickets, say this, hey, Reggie, if you make the World Series, you got to give me and my son tickets to a game. That seems fair.
Yeah, I mean, they did. They negotiated with him. He got a signed jersey and money for the team store and stuff.
But these are moments for athletes. I like athletes. I know I'm critical sometimes, but I root for athletes. I hate injuries. Patrick Mahomes' injury yesterday, I couldn't watch the replay. I'm like,
terrible.
What if I was his dad? I was like, I can't watch that. I have confidence in myself. I'll overcome giving you a ball and what the cost financially of it, I'll overcome that in my life. But what you couldn't overcome is not having a memento that you could share forever that's in your house that means something.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way I'm keeping it at all. I probably wouldn't even keep the actual ball that Mike Evans gave to me, not knowing that it was a six. I probably would have turned right away and given it to a kid, honestly. I got a foul ball at a Marlins game once. It literally landed in my purse. I had a big purse open and it just landed in my purse. And it was coming down and there was this guy leaning over behind me trying to catch it. And he had Marlins socks and Marlins shoes and every item of clothing that was on him was Marlins. He was just so bummed that he didn't get this ball. And he's a grown man. I'm like, just take the ball, man. It's going to sit in my drawer when I go home.
Right.
For the next few years and I'm going to throw it out.
I would feel incredibly guilty having a ball of any star, if it meant something to them and meant nothing more than dollar bills to me.
No,
I couldn't do it.
I'm with you. But it was nice that I'm
not a sports moralist or a sports cop. I'm just, me personally, I would just I don't want anything. Just give us a World Series. Like if the kid said, Tom, if you go to the Super Bowl, can I go? Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be a great
experience.
Yeah, and
they should take care of him. And Tom might do something extra. But there's no way you keep that ball.
No way. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, let's talk to Mike Vick, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, 13 years, four Pro Bowls. All right, Michael, let me ask you, if that was your 600 touchdown pass, would the ball mean a lot to you as a player?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would have been the first to go over there and grab that ball. Mike Evans, he forgot about what was going on in the moment, and that's understandable. But, you know, that one needs to go in the trophy case somewhere and be visible during my Zoom calls.
Okay, that's fair enough. I get it. For me, as a fan, I would rather the athlete have the ball than me have the ball. And I'm not trying to be a moralist or a nice guy here. For me, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So, listen, you know, you played in Kansas City. You know Andy Reid. You know the whole situation here. Not that you played in Kansas City. You played with Andy Reid. Right now, Mahomes, not that he's lost, but he's not tight. He's made some – yesterday he made several bad reads. What is going on and how do you fix it?
Well, it's just not a lot of things going right now for Kansas City. They can't run block, can't pass block, can't stop the run, can't stop the pass, can't protect Patrick. It's a lot of things that they can't do. And I think it extends outside of coaching. You know, as players, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, look, I get paid to play this game and play it with pride. And as of right now, they're not doing that. I do think not having Sammy Watkins or somebody who can complement Tyreek or Travis Kelce on the offensive side of the ball is really hurting this team right now. Somebody has to step up, and Patrick is doing a lot, and he's giving it his best effort, but it's just not good enough because you just heard Tom Brady say it. It's a collective effort. It's a team game, and there's not too many things that you can accomplish single-handedly in the course of a football game.
How do you turn it around? What do you do? You do it at practice. Do you do it on film study? How do you turn it around if you're Mahomes?
I think it's in the film room. You got to, you know, collectively get with the group and figure out what works best for us. What can we do that can be easy and we can go out and execute? We can't go bombs away. We can't have long, sustainable drives. You know, sometimes we got to get the quick hitters, and where is that going to lie? How do we cook up plays where we can take some pressure off of the defense? Because the offense is pressing at times, and it's not just Patrick, it's everybody. It seems like everybody's trying to do more than what they're supposed to be doing. So I think it starts in the film room, in the practice, and then it has to, you know, roll over into the game. If not, you know, it's all for naught.
You know, when you're a young quarterback, you got to figure – I always say quarterbacks, I want to see something by the middle of the second year. I'll throw your first year out. Second year, middle of it, I want to see better reads, better decisions. Well, Joe Burrow has now played officially 17 games, so he's played a full season, and his numbers are pretty remarkable, and it's behind an offensive line that is still not ideal. When you watch Burrow, what do you see – what jumps out to you?
I see a very decisive, poised quarterback. I mean, and watching him at LSU, you know, we all wonder, is Joe Burrow the real deal? Can he bring his game to the pros and let it translate? And so far, you know, it's been amazing. Zach Taylor understands this guy. He knows what to do with him. And he made some moves in the pocket yesterday that really surprised me, bought time. The Baltimore Ravens came after him. They pressured him, and they wanted to get to him and frustrate him and have him under the wrestle like they did Justin Herbert last week. And Joe just wasn't going for it, man. He's cool as a fan. He's very decisive, like I said. He understands the game of football. And I think more so than anything, he's the ultimate competitor. So the Cincinnati Bengals got their quarterback for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
And that's a great start for this franchise.
You know, it's interesting. I defended the Atlanta Falcons. I said, I think Kyle Pitts is so revolutionary as a tight end. Yeah, draft him. Matt will be fine. You can win a lot of games with Matt for one or two more years. You owe him a lot of money, but
yeah.
Everybody wanted Atlanta's got a quarterback. I said, no, you got to get Kyle Pitts. I've never seen a tight end like him. Yesterday, by the way, he ended up being really – it was kind of an interesting game between the Dolphins and Falcons. I know they're not good teams, but it was a really fun game to watch. What do you make of Pitts? And let's talk about what a tight end did for you.
Look, Colin, you know I was a big fan of the tight end. Any offense I ever played in, my tight end played an integral part of what we was doing. I felt like it was always a mismatch, and You just got to know how to use them. What Atlanta's doing with Kyle Pitts is they're moving them around. They got him in space, and, you know, he almost looked like Plexico Burress, you know, same body type, same, you know, type of movement, not the fastest guy, but can go up and make plays and really use his body to shield off DBs and make plays. And I like the way they're using him. You know, Matt Ryan, of course, you know, have played more than 2,000 snaps or more, and he knows how to create offense. He knows how to get guys in space, and he knows how to take advantage of one-on-one matchups. And this is an offense that's going to continue to flourish, and a duo between Kyle Pitts and Matt Ryan is going to last for a long time, as long as Matt Ryan is in Atlanta. So I'm excited about this pick. I'm excited to see him, you know, go out and have a lot of success early in his career. Because I was one of the guys who thought Atlanta should have drafted a quarterback, but I think this was the pick that they needed.
So, you know, a game, one of the only games yesterday that really shocked me is how uncompetitive the Eagles and the Raiders were. Now, the Raiders winning is not shocking, but the data told you that Philadelphia would go toe-to-toe in the trenches. It would be they were only a field goal underdog. And then you watch the game, and it was never competitive. And, you know, Jalen Hurts had a couple of moments. I'm like, are you concerned at all about Hurts, some sloppiness, and where he's at right now in Philadelphia, Michael?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned. You have to be concerned because you see, you know, some sporadic play. You see errant throws throughout the course of a game. And you're looking at a team who's very young, and they got to learn how to win games in the National Football League. And, you know, to the guys' credit, the players, you know, coming out of that game at halftime, you know, I think it was 17-7. And, you know, Nick Sirianni, they went for a surprise onside kick, didn't get it, gave the Raiders the ball at midfield, and they went down and scored. And the score was 24-7. They're not built to overcome those type of situations. They're a young team.
Yeah.
They're still learning how to win, like I said. And they can't be put in vulnerable spots. They got to be able to go toe-to-toe, like you said, be competitive and find ways to win. They got to learn how to do that as a group. And, you know, they need a couple more games to show. I think, you know, Jalen Hurts has to take the onus and really step up for this team right now on the offensive side of the ball. And then the defense has to pull their weight as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. This team is not built to trail 24-7 on the road. That onside kick, that's a huge, huge gamble. And one
it's
I would
backbreaker.
Not. Yeah, it was a backbreaker if you watch the game. Hey, Michael, great seeing you as always. Appreciate it. Falcons hat, a lot of pride there. I get it. Congrats, bud.
Thank you.
All right. Michael Vick. Some thoughts on Brady. Two things are happening in Tom's career, and they're both really good, and I don't see him going away. We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great to have you in. You know, sometimes society moves in your direction, and sometimes it moves away from you. If you're a big, tough guy, society in the last 25 years is not moving in your direction. If you're quiet, a loner, not very social, you like to play on your computer, things are good for you for the rest of your life. You're going to own the world. It is a world where the Supreme Court and tech will overwhelmingly run this country. Right now, tech moves left, Supreme Court moves right, but that's going to control us the rest of our lives. And so society now benefits the quiet boy or girl, the less social boy or girl, the awkward at an early age boy or girl. They get on their computers, they become coders, they become engineers, and they change everything and become our bosses. Things are working like that, and I bring it up for Tom Brady. Right now he leads the NFL in touchdowns and passing yards. He's going to have to sit down with Giselle and the kids and say, listen, I'm going to play to 50. I'll get you another house. I'm just going to play to 50 years old. Because what's happening with Tom, two things have happened, and the game is really moving in Tom's direction. Number one, as the best pre-snap quarterback currently in the NFL, He's audibling in and out of stuff. He's playing chess. Everybody else is playing checkers. The league, more teams are playing younger quarterbacks early. Three of his last four wins, he's playing a rookie quarterback or a second-year quarterback. So he's going into games with a massive advantage over the quarterback he's playing against. A massive pre-snap, audible experience advantage. And the league is just getting younger and younger and younger and younger at quarterback, so there's more and more mismatches for Tom. The second thing is the NFL has largely outlawed hitting Tom or his receivers. Tom is great at manipulating games as it is, but now he knows that. And so all the rules have moved into Tom's direction. And I've said this about Russell Westbrook, and Dwight Howard. They're Hall of Fame players, but about 7 years ago, the league moved away from what they do. Dwight Howard was a center, and then we didn't need any. And Russell Westbrook was a great athlete, and really, we just need you to be able to shoot threes. Neither can do it. They're both going to be the Hall of Fame, but the game, the league, the analytics, the rules move against them. By the way, James Harden this year, the NBA changed a rule, and James Harden's having to pivot away from some of his tendencies because the NBA instituted a rule, and it really, really hurts James Harden, and it's getting talked about now in NBA circles. But the league is now, it's really moving toward Tom. Younger quarterbacks, they don't stand a chance. You can't hit Tom. You can't hit his receivers. I mean, yesterday, Gronk didn't play. Antonio Brown didn't play. And it really didn't matter. I mean, it literally didn't matter. It had no effect on the game. Here's Tom Brady after the game in which he threw for his 600th touchdown.
I just think about all the guys that's sharing it with me. That's the reality. There's nothing about this sport that's you do by yourself. So it's the ultimate team sport. It challenges you physically, mentally, emotionally, every week, every day of practice. I'm just grateful to have amazing teammates, coaches. To be able to do it for as long as I have is a really incredible blessing in my life.
I know he's wearing the hat on backwards. He's just taunting me now. I'm going to talk to Tom after the show today, actually, and I'm going to bring that up. I want to segue to Tom's former team, the New England Patriots. So, you know how it is in college football, if you're a really good football team and, you know, they have the college football playoff has four teams in it and you're like seventh and you need somebody to lose in the last couple weeks and you need to win by blowout. You need style points. And so you're like seventh or eighth and you're crossing your fingers that Ohio State loses or Clemson loses and they probably won't. But you're trying to get style points. So if you have a chance to blow somebody out and score another touchdown, you're going to do it. And yesterday, it's not that New England beat the Jets. But leading by 30 points late, they were doing play action passes and attacking the Jets. Now, we know Belichick doesn't like the Jets. That's an old cliche. We know that, right? But it felt different yesterday. As if he was trying to make a statement. And I actually think it was. Here were the two statements Bill was trying to make. Number one, he was telling the league, this is a have-have-nots league. Do not jump up. Do not bunch us in with the Jets. Do not bunch us in with the Dolphins. Do not bunch us in with the crappy teams in this league. We almost beat Dallas. We can play with New England. We are this close to being something. And why does that matter? Potential free agents next year. Coaches. Do not lump us into the have-nots. So any chance they get to pour it on, they will. The second thing is, I think Belichick is selling his team on this. He's got a very, very young team, and he wants these guys to know, no, you can blow out people. And when he gets a chance this year to pour it on, Bill's going to pour it on. This is not the Brady Patriots, where he knew going into a season, we're going to win 12 games. We got a better coach and a better quarterback. They took the foot off the gas constantly. I mean, how many Patriot games did you watch them start of the fourth, leading 27-13, and they're just running the ball, short Edelman passes. They want to eat the clock, get in a plane, get back to Foxborough. That's not this team. Bill is trying to sell this team on itself. And I got to tell you, if you look in the last couple of weeks, they went to Houston, didn't play well early. They were missing four offensive linemen, but they had a very good second half and won. Dallas outplayed the Cowboys for stretches, almost won. I thought they had that game won. Now they blow out the Jets. I think Belichick's sending a message out there to free agents. We're not a have-not. We're this close. I think he's trying to sell his team. Bill was actually on WEEI in Boston this morning and was doing a little salesmanship to WEEI.
I mean, I really have a lot of respect for these guys. They come to work every day. We've improved, again, every day, really, really every week. Guys have had a couple, weeks where it's been, tough, but they've showed a lot of mental toughness and resiliency to keep showing up and working hard and getting better. And I mean, that's what we really want as a coach, is to see your team work hard and improve.
Yeah, they're interesting. It's an interesting team. We've said this before. The longer a really good boss is at a company, incrementally, the better they would get. If I took over a great company, because I don't know what I'm doing, incrementally, they'd get worse, right? Like, you can fool people for a while. But if you start watching New England, that game they lost to Miami, they would win today. That game against Houston, they wouldn't have a bad first half. You can see them incrementally getting better. And Belichick, when he has a chance to step on the throat, is going to do it. Guys, we're legit. Get confidence. We're real, real close. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, hour two next.